بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we're talking about I uploaded several budget reminders on the topic of isolation is death. And one of the things that I mentioned in that Zimnan, which is in the same subject, is the importance of how we raise children. And we talked about the importance of homeschooling, which is fantastic, and ensuring that in the homeschooling, the child has access to and experience of living and working with diverse people. Because in my experience of homeschooling, I've not homeschooled anybody, but I know many people, many of my friends, relatives, nephews and nieces and so on. They homeschool their children and alhamdulillah, very good results. But one of the things that happens in homeschooling, by definition, is a sense of isolation, a sense of exclusivity, which is very detrimental, which is very harmful, because it doesn't give the child experience of dealing with diverse people, dealing with people who believe differently from us, who eat and drink differently from us, whose culture is different from us, who look different, and so on and so forth. And, you know, and the problem of that is that it's normal human tendency, it's literally conditioning that happens very unconsciously, but very, very powerfully. And that conditioning is that everyone like me is good, and everyone unlike me is bad. And the level of bad can be from being irritating to being positively evil. Now, this is, first of all, a big fallacy. It's completely un-Islamic, and it is something which is, you know, in the level of being extremist and totally to be avoided. Second thing is that if we go purely by interest of, in the aspect of self-interest, remember that for every Muslim in the world, there are four people who are not Muslim. So if you don't know how to deal with people who are not Muslim, then you are, your education is hugely deficient. You don't learn this by reading books. You learn this in the same way as you learn swimming. So I say to people that if you want to make sure that you're, say for example, you're living on an island which is surrounded by water, or you're living on a, you have a waterfront house, you're living on the sea, you're living on the river, and you don't want your child, or even if you have a swimming pool in your house, you don't want your child to fall in and drown, then what do? You don't, you obviously don't rivet a life jacket onto his back, right? That's, you don't do that. What do is you make him drown proof. And what's drown proof? It is to make him, is to teach him or her how to swim. So if you want to, if you want to save your child from drowning, the thing to do is teach them how to swim. If you want to teach them how to swim, the first thing to do is to get them into the water. Because we cannot teach people how to swim by watching video or by reading books. It is a contact sport. Therefore, you need to get into the water. And that's exactly how human relations is. Human relations is a contact sport. It's also a inevitable if you want to use the word sport, then inevitable sport, but inevitable. Because we live in a world of people. And even if you are going to say that I will live off-grid, in the middle of the forest somewhere, at some point you are going to come into contact with somebody. And you need to know how to deal with them. And of course, this is an extreme example. Nobody does that. Most of us have, we hope to have raised children who will have great careers in different parts, in the corporate world, in government, in religion, in academics, and so on and so forth. Do something with their lives and make something of themselves, all of which, without exception, means that they will have to deal with people. So people skills are, quite simply, without exaggeration, the most critical and the most important skills that you or I can ever teach our children. People skills don't come just like that by themselves. They are not magic. They won't just happen because you feel like, I want my children to learn them, so they learn them somehow magically. No, they have to be taught like anything else. And the sooner we start teaching, the better for them and us. So this is what I submit to you, that people skills are the number one thing that that children need. Now, one of the important things in people skills is manners, adab. These are rules of behavior. Please understand this. I have said this many times and I stand by this, that parents have a very critical and important role. And that role is to teach children boundaries. This is a safety, it's a hygiene and safety role. What is right, what is not right? What are the boundaries? What you can do and you cannot do? What is polite, what is not polite? What is considerate, what is not considerate? If anyone thinks that a child learns all of this by themselves, left to themselves, without any direction, without anybody telling them anything, then I'm sorry, I beg to differ. I am not interested in arguing with anyone. If you want to believe that, good for you. I don't believe that. As my training in psychology teaches me, that is not supported by any empirical evidence that children just learn to be responsible citizens with beautiful manners just by themselves. We are mammals. Let's not forget that. We are basically animals. And all animals, whether it's a dog or a cat or a child, has to be trained. The whole theory of civilized behavior is to do that which does not come naturally, but to do it because we know that this is the best thing to do for ourselves and for others who share our space. I want to quote from something that Margaret Mead, the famous anthropologist, said when they asked her when civilization started. And she said it started from the time when it was discovered in an archaeological dig that somebody who had fractured their femur is the big bone that connects the knee to the hip, somebody who had fractured their femur had been nursed back to health. So she said that civilization began from this discovery, that somebody nursed this person back to health. Now they said, why would you say that? Because In nature, if you fracture your femur, then you are dead because you can't move, you can't hunt, you can't escape your predators, and it's just a matter of waiting for some predator to come and eat you. The fact that this femur healed meant that there was somebody there who took care of this individual, who carried them to safety, who nursed them, who hunted for them, who gathered for them, who fed them, who looked after them, until that person was back on their feet. Now, she said that this is the finest indication of civilization. I want to say to you that if anyone tells me that children automatically learn what is good, then show me how it happens in nature. In nature, if something is weak, if something breaks, then that thing is just left to die. It is very unnatural to look after something and bring it back to a state of health. And that is civilization. That's the kind of unnatural behavior that we want to inculcate in our children. So it is being unnatural in a positive, entirely beautiful sense. It's not being unnatural and doing some nonsense. It's being unnatural in a very positive sense, where because of our behavior, which does not come naturally, which goes against nature, something good results. It is natural for a small child, as it is for anyone who's house-trained, a puppy knows that. It is natural for the puppy or your child. Believe me, there's no difference. The difference comes only because of your training in both. Otherwise, a child is a puppy walking on two legs. Both are mammals. They get diseases from each other. We are that close. So it is entirely natural for your puppy or your child to do it when they feel the need to do it, to urinate or defecate when they feel the need to do it, no matter where they are. Might be on the carpet in the middle of your living room, it makes no difference to them. They're not trying to be nasty, they're not trying to be evil. It's natural. It is absolutely, entirely natural. Then why do you house train a puppy? Why do you house train your child? Potty train your child. You don't call it house training or potty train. So why do you potty train your child? If you think that they are going to do the right thing, come to the right decisions by themselves, then leave them. Right? Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Now, in the case of potty training, I guess once they grow to a certain age, they will themselves realize that this is wrong. But do you want to wait that long? And this doesn't apply to everything else. Any form of consideration to stand up for someone who is older, to show respect for scholars, to show respect even for yourself as a parent, to serve others, to put the needs of others before your need. This is the most unnatural thing in the world. To put your need behind and to put the needs of others. This goes against every survival rule. Every rule of survival tells you, take it when it is there. Competition is a rule of survival. The devil takes the last. Civilization means that you tone down this competition. You still compete, but you compete at a much different level, at a very different level. You're not going to allow someone else to die. You will share that last piece of bread. All of this, I'm giving you some very sort of, you know, basic fundamental examples. You can expand this as much as you wish. All of these are signs of civilization. Every single one of them needs to be trained. So please do not have any hesitation about training your children. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you. This is what gives you the status, O mothers, that Jannah is beneath your feet. It's not because of biology, it's because of theology. It's because of raising good human beings who recognize Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, who love Allah Azza wa Jal, who love His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for know the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to live their lives according to that sunnah. All of this, every single atom of it, needs to be trained. It does not come naturally. For a child to wake up for Salatul Fajr and pray Salatul Fajr, go to the masjid, I don't know of any living child who does that, unless he or she is trained by their parents. For a child to wake up for tahajjud, forget it. It's not going to happen unless that child has the role model of a parent who used to do that. My father, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and give him Jannat al-Firdaus. My entire life, I have this memory of my father who used to wake up for tahajjud. He would wake up around 2:30 or so. He would make wudu, and you could hear the whole thing because in those days, there was no hot and cold running water from taps. In the bathrooms, we had tanks, water tanks, and buckets. And the buckets, this was before plastics. Can you imagine? There was a world before plastics. There's an article of mine on this. The buckets were made of galvanized iron, GI, metal buckets, and they came with a handle. So my father would put the bucket on the floor and drop the handle, it would clang, bang. And then he would make, so we know, okay, he's making wudu. He would make wudu, and then he would pray tahajjud, and then he would recite Quran, he would sit with the Quran, and he would recite Quran until it was time for Salatul Fajr. Then he would come into the bedroom. He never woke us up for tahajjud. He did not wake us up for tahajjud. All his 5 children and my mother, he never woke us up. My mother used to wake up on her own, but they never woke us up. But Salatul Fajr, non-negotiable. It didn't matter. You were tired, not tired. You had exams, no exams. If you had exams, you prayed even more. He would come into the room, turn the lights on, and he would, you know, if you were under blankets, he would pull those off. And he would say, As-salatu khayrun minan-nawm, As-salatu khayrun minan-nawm. Right? Sound very oppressive, right? But let me tell you, the result of that within course oppression. Alhamdulillah, the result of that oppression is that all his children, alhamdulillah, they all pray tahajjud. Every single one of us, alhamdulillah. Without being told. Because we had that role model. So, if someone is telling me that children will do it on their own, good luck to you. That is why you exist. That is why Jannah is beneath the feet of the mother. That is why the father is the door of the Jannah. That is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when your parents die, when one dies, one door of Jannah shuts. And the other dies, the other door of Jannah shuts. That's why the dua of the parents is so critical and so accepted. Dua of the parents for the children. And may Allah forgive us against the children if the children have been troubling them and injuring and harming them. So, my brothers and sisters, feel absolutely, not just feel free and comfortable, but remember, this is your duty. You were sent as parents to guide your children, to show them the boundaries, not to leave them like little wild animals to discover for themselves what is right and what is wrong, because that leads only to one place. And I'm not saying this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. In Surah Yusuf, Allah said, Inna nafsa la ammaratum bisu. Illa ma rahima rabbi. Yusuf alayhi salam said, truly my nafs, my feeling, my desire, takes only to evil, except for the one on whom Allah has mercy. So if you leave your children to fend for themselves or decide for themselves, then you want to fool yourself by saying that, oh, but you know, they'll all come to the right decisions. Well, that statement is against the Quran. And Allah should know, because Allah is our maker, our creator. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about those who give in to the tyranny of feelings and who succumb to feelings and who become slaves of their feelings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكِلَ. In Surah Al-Furqan, Allah said, have you not seen, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who have taken their feelings to be their lords, to be their ilah. They worship their feelings. And are you going to intercede for them? Are you going to be a wakil over them? Are you going to be somebody who is going to take responsibility for them? Meaning, don't do it. We have to understand this, that to be a decent, responsible, productive human being means to overcome feelings. I'm not saying deny them. I'm not saying refuse to acknowledge them. I'm not saying, trash them. No, I'm saying acknowledge them, and then if they are positive, then alhamdulillah, follow them. But if they are negative, then deny those feelings. Do not do what your heart and mind is telling you to do. And how will you decide whether it is positive or negative? Unless you are taught this, and unless you understand the Quran and Sunnah. That is the only way that you and I will learn what is positive and negative, by in this way. So please understand this and say that I am created as a parent for a reason, and that reason is to guide my children to do that which pleases Allah and which will be an asset and benefit for them when they meet Him. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين.